Amen. The Lord is great in splendor. You know, there's, I have
Well, good morning. Glad you could all make the effort to be here today. I know it's a little, weather's a little inclement. You know, sometimes we do a greeting and just a good morning, and I'd like you just to take a minute and find someone you haven't said good morning to yet, and go over, say hello, and say, do you need some help shoveling your driveway? But if you can't say that sincerely, better to be honest. Actually, I just had a few announcements. One, I wanted to highlight, next Saturday, our church in Indianapolis is sponsoring a women's conference, February 17th. And we have a large group of ladies who are going down. If you'd like a ride or information about housing overnight, please talk to my wife. You're leaving Friday afternoon, and so talk to my wife if you have any more information. The cost is only $10. That doesn't include housing, but it's a great. Sometimes I find I learn. My heart is so much more open to learn when I get away and go to a women's conference. But I would encourage you to go if you can. So I believe that Valentine's Day is this week. For those of you who need to know that. Well, it's funny, I grew up in New England, where it snows on a regular basis, and sometimes like this, and I was thinking there's kind of two ways you can look at life of, I'm a victim of all this came, and look at what happened. Another snowstorm I have to deal with. But you know, it's funny, in New England, we built ski areas, and we had snowmobiles. It snowed, we went sledding, and the blizzard of 76... was, wow, that was, there was a couple feet of snow. As a matter of fact, they didn't clear the roads for a couple days. Didn't stop me and my father, let's go, we'll have snowmobiles, we'll go on the roads, you know, and it didn't stop us. And if God is in your life, he is allowing things. You're not a victim of what happens. God is allowing things to help you contend with them. And one of the things is working through life together. And I think one of the things that bonds New Englanders together is we had to face the weather together. Need some help shoveling, need some help plowing, and it's something we face together. It's the same in the church. We face life, we face ministry, we face hardship and struggle as a church family. So just wanted to give you that little thought. So those are the announcements for today. We need some ushers. Do you think you guys can do the offering? This is the time in our service where we take up the offering. Will come forward and do that, and children will go to Sunday school. Thank you.
That's okay. All right. Yeah, here we are worshiping together with our in Foundation Bible Church with Chris leading worship, and Ruthie was helping out. And we did some teaching workshops. These are some exercises we did. He was supposed to do like a trust fall thing, but he wouldn't lean back. So, yeah, it didn't really, the illustration didn't really work out that well. But they had fun doing it anyway. It's a good memory. And food. Now, this was actually the least of the meals. This was just when we first got there, and they gave us this pizza. But this was just warm-up. This was just an appetizer. I mean, these guys fed us so much food all weekend. They have this guy in the church, Norman, who every Sunday morning arrives early in the church and cooks breakfast for everybody. So, and then they eat lunch after church. They come back in for dinner Sunday night. These guys eat all the time, and so it was really cool. So we got to find ourselves a Norman to cook breakfast for us every Sunday morning. It was a good time. Well, one of the topics that I spoke on when we did our teaching workshops in Janesville was Jesus as light of the world, and the church as a lighthouse. And so because I've been thinking about that the last couple of weeks and with running around, I thought I'd share that with you this morning as well. And for those of you that were on our road trip, a portion of this message may be a repeat of what you heard in Janesville, but I've expanded on it a little bit. We're going to go into some different areas that we didn't cover in Janesville. And so let's just see what the Lord has for us this morning as we look at His Word. So let's open in prayer. Father, we thank You for all Your creation, including snow. And we thank You for especially our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, that we can have such sweet fellowship time when we travel in different areas, even despite traveling in snowstorms. And we lift Janesville up to You. We ask that You would bless them, that You would mightily work in the few houses that we were able to talk to people, and some that they would see some fruit. Lord, we know that there's people there that don't know You, that don't go to church, that need to. Lord, we pray that the little work that we did would have planted some seeds that You would use to cause spiritual growth in the lives of people around that church. We lift up the Talcott family to You today as they're grieving the loss of a loved one and this week, and we just ask that You would comfort them through that time, and that You would teach us today through Your Word, that You have so much to share with us through Your Word, Lord, so much that we need to know, and we thank You that You do that, and we ask that You do that for us this morning. Pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. All right, so before we get into Jesus as light of the world, it was on my heart to just take a step back this morning and spend a portion of my sermon talking about, on a high level, what it means to be following in the footsteps of Jesus. And that's what our series is about this winter. And some of this stuff we probably covered in little bits, but these are just some things that were on my heart. The first principle I wanted to highlight this morning is that as we grow spiritually, we are going to end up looking more like Jesus. Not physically, but in the way He acted, the way He believed, what He did, how He treated people. We, as we grow spiritually, are going and following His footsteps. We are going to look more like Jesus. We are going to be more like Jesus. It's interesting that each area that we're to grow in as His followers, He exhibited first. You know, there's nothing worse than a leader telling his followers to do something that he doesn't exhibit in his own life. But with Jesus, we have a leader who walks the walk and talks the talk, not just talks the talk, but walks the walk. And so God is love, and He calls us to be loving. Jesus exhibited being loving. So we know what that looks like because we see it in Jesus. God calls us to be compassionate, and Jesus exhibited compassion with people. God calls us to be a servant, and Jesus exhibited being a servant. He walked the walk of all these things that we are talking about in this series. He was forgiving, and we're called to be forgiving. So as we grow and follow Jesus, we're going to be more like Him. Paul talked about this when he talked about how the church equips believers until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When we grow up like Christ, we fill out, our lives are filled out like the fullness of to the fullness of Christ and who He is. We become more like Him. So you may have heard this illustration before, but I just thought it would be fun to do it. I have Rob Daniel's coat up here, and Joel has agreed to do a little illustration for us if he's still interested. Are you interested? Okay. Oh, he gets to take his coat off. All right. Ooh, that's a good illustration. So when you come to Christ, you shed your old self, you know. So he's right now Joel is shedding his old coat, and sometimes it takes a lot of work to shed your old self. But then, come on up, and now he's come to Christ, he's Superman. All right. And now, you know, he is clothed in Christ. So here is Rob's coat. Put it on. All right. And if you notice, he does not fill out that coat. All right. But as he grows up, as he grows taller, as he ages, if he came back every year and wore the same coat up front, we would see him slowly fill it out. And when he's an adult, his arms would be poking through, and he would actually be filling out the coat. So, awesome illustration. But right now, he's young, and so he hasn't filled it out. Okay, give Joel a big hand. That's awesome. Here, Joel, you can take your coat back to your dad, too. And you can go to Sunday school class. What a trooper. Thank you, Joel. So, it's the same with Christ. When we come to Christ, you know, we have a new self. We have Christ. We're clothed with Christ, but we don't always fill them out. And that's what this verse is talking about, that the church is going to equip us. The leaders in the church and the Word of God is going to equip us until we become mature, attaining to the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. And so we are, too, when we follow in Jesus' footsteps, it's to become like him, to fill out the fullness of Christ. The second principle I wanted to share was that we cannot grow by our own effort. So you're not going to become more forgiving, for instance, just by, the force of your will, you know, to become more forgiving. You're not going to become more compassionate to people just by a self-help program, you know. You're not going to become more loving, more loving individual just by grunting it out and say, today, I wake up, I'm going to be more loving today. You know, we can do some of that, but the reality is that we're not going to be able to fill out and become the fullness of Christ by our own self-effort, by our own flesh. But Jesus is alive and is inside you, and he is going to work to fill you out, to grow these things in your life as you follow him and follow in his footsteps. Here's a couple of good verses for that. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He began the work in you, and he's going to carry out the work in you. He's going to work in your life and conform you to be more like him. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He works in you to will, even to adjust your will, to align your will with God's will and desires to follow him and to be like him. And then he's going to act in you. It's his power through you that's going to produce compassion, love, and all these things. So, what are we to do? We're to cooperate with God in what he's already doing, to cooperate with him, to turn over the keys to our life to him. So, if you want to be, these are my wife's keys, actually. Pink keys. If you want to be more loving, turn over the keys to him. Cooperate with him. Turn over the keys to him. You want to be more compassionate, move over and give him the keys. Let him drive. Follow him. It's all about humility and cooperating with what the Lord is doing in our lives. And he will you will see the fruit develop in your life as you do that. Trust in him, and you'll become more like him. So becoming more like Jesus, that's really what it's all about in following in his footsteps. We're not just following a teaching or principles or ideals. We are following him to become like him. And he will grow in us those attributes of himself. So the attribute that we're looking at today specifically is Jesus is light of the world. And Jesus said this about himself. He said, well, I am in the world. I am the light of the world. Now, if you want to open up your Bibles to chapter 9, we'll read a little bit of the context. Let's see. This is John chapter 9. I have NIV, so if you want to follow along. He went along, talking about Jesus. He saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, back in that day, the Hebrew line of thinking was if someone's born blind or deformity or whatever, it must be because of their sins of the parents or the grandparents. And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Well, I am in the world. I am the light of the world. So there's the context. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, put it on the man's eyes, and then he told the man to go wash his eyes, and then the man did, and he had sight. And it's really funny after that, because people then in his town asked him, you know, how are you the same guy that was blind? How did you have sight? And, you know, he didn't really know who Jesus was, because all he said was, well, this man named Jesus spit on the ground, put mud on my eyes, and I washed it, and I now have sight. And they asked, well, who is this? Where is this guy? But the context here of Jesus being light of the world is in healing the blind man. And I think it's really interesting because he gave him sight, and it's clear that Jesus' primary purpose when he came was to give us sight spiritually. He gave the blind man sight physically, but he is light of the world to give us sight spiritually, to open our eyes spiritually. I remember when I first came to Christ, and the whole world looked different to me. You know, I woke up that morning after I had accepted Christ as my Savior, and all of a sudden, it's like, you know, the mud came off my eyes in the shower, and I walked around my day, and I saw things differently. My spiritual eyes had been open, and the world looked different, and everything that I did looked different, and the way people talked looked different, because God had opened my eyes spiritually, and that's what the light of the world does. His light heals, and he heals us spiritually. He healed me spiritually. Now, other cultures, when they talk about light, the concept of light, it's often a symbol of truth. And you read that in what I read in some of the ancient cultures, that light is a symbol of truth. And it's easy to fall under that definition when we read this. Jesus is the light of the world. He brings truth. But it's so much more than that, because he doesn't just bring facts. He doesn't just bring factual truth. He's more than a symbol of truth. Look at what it says about him being light of the world in John 8. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus is light of the world. And what's that all about? He said that whoever follows him will have the light of life. It's the light of life that Jesus brings. It's light of the world. He brings life. That's what the context here when he uses that expression. And we read more about that in even John 1. In him was life. In him was life. Jesus brings life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The life that Jesus brings is the light of all mankind, the light of all humanity. What all humanity is looking for is the light of life that Jesus brings. The light of God, the truth, the reality of life in him, to show us the way of salvation. Darkness refers to the absence of light, or the absence, in this case, of spiritual life, which is spiritual death. People were walking in spiritual death, and Jesus came and brings life to them and heals them spiritually. One commentator said this: when Jesus brings us life, the eyes of our hearts are open, and divine light streams into our living spirit. Eternal life gives eternal sight. The divine light streams into our living spirit. I don't know how many of you have ever watched the sunrise, sat and watched the sunrise. And, you know, before the sun rises, it's all dark. And you really can't see. You can see shapes and different things, but a lot of things are dark and invisible. You don't really know what's out there. Or you don't really know what these vague shapes are, and then the sun starts to come up, and it becomes a little clearer. Oh, that's a tree. That's a mountain. And then the sun comes out a little further, and you're like, wow, look at that beautiful river and whatnot, whatever you're looking at. And then the sun comes out, and when the sun's at the top, all of a sudden you can see with clarity everything that you could not see before. And that's what the light of the world does when he comes into our lives. Jesus brings that to us, and he clears up the darkness and brings clarity, illumination to our world. Here's another verse. It talks about the spiritually. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. People are in darkness and they're blinded to God's glory. They cannot see the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And Paul says that for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. What we're preaching is not some principles to follow, but Jesus himself. Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, before I read the last line of this, I wanted to share one of my favorite Christian speakers, Ravi Zacharias, was preaching on this verse, and it really stuck out with me. He said that he preached about how the pursuit of the Hebrews were kind of illumination, you know, light, and in that sense of the word. And the pursuit of the Greeks at that time was symbolized by knowledge. Greeks wanted knowledge. And for Romans, the pursuit of the Romans at that time was glory. They wanted glory, Roman glory. And then Paul writes, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. What did he do? He made his light shine in the hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. Amazing. To reach all the different people groups and what they were looking for, the light of the knowledge of God's glory. And where was that found? It was displayed in the face of Christ. And Jesus reveals the light of the knowledge of God's glory. You're looking for illumination, knowledge, glory. It's all found in the face of Christ and who he was. When Jesus comes into your life, light streams into your heart, teaches you about God's glory, and illuminates the beauty of what God is clearly, of beauty of God, which is clearly seen in the person and the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world for all mankind and brings that to us. So what about us? How do we fit into this? And I'm not going to give it away. You probably already know, but first, let's look at this verse. In 1 Peter, Peter says, for you, talking about us as believers, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So when you were called to faith, when God called you and drew you to himself, you were called out of darkness into his wonderful light. So you are now walking in God's wonderful light if you have faith in Jesus Christ. You're walking in his wonderful light. All right? Now let's read on. You, and this is in 1 Thessalonians, you are all children of the light, children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. If you're in Christ, you don't belong to the night anymore. You don't belong to spiritual death. You don't belong to not seeing clearly. Okay? So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. You are all children of the light, children of the light. I was thinking about this. So you were born of the light, and now you're children of the light. It makes sense. That jives with lots of verses we read about being born again spiritually, that we're now God's children, etc. And I was thinking of how to describe this, and it's like physical children, you know, like, I'll take Jim Haworth as an example. So, when he walked around at high school or whatever, you know, he probably had friends that walked around and were like, Haworth. They probably called him by his last name. I mean, I had people, you know, so they were like, hey, Haworth, what's going on, you know, type of thing. And so he was by himself, right? I know he had brothers and sisters, but let's just pretend they're not around. Okay, it's just Jim. All right. So, you know, he was the only Haworth there, right? And then he moved up here to the area, and he was still the only Haworth, you know, and so us singles were probably like, hey, Haworth, what's up, and blah, blah, blah. And but then he got married, and he had all these children. And now, you know, I don't know if they do it with the girls, but probably when Luke gets a little older and he's walking around in high school, someone's going to walk up to Luke and is going to be like, hey, Haworth, you know, wait a minute, I thought Jim was Haworth. How could Luke be Haworth? Well, because Luke is a child of Haworth, okay? So he is now Haworth as well as Jim. They're both equally Haworth in that sense, right? And because Luke's identification is with his family. So now everybody, when you see Luke today, just call him Hallworth. See? And he'll be like, what? So it's because Luke's identification is his family. It's of whom he was born. And spiritually, our identification is with Jesus Christ. It's who we've been born of, and we are now children of. He is the light of the world, and so we're now children of the light because we've been born spiritually. And so Jesus takes us one step further in the Gospel of Matthew and says that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let's read the whole thing. Isn't that wild? You know, wait a minute. We just read that Jesus was light of the world, and now Jesus is saying that we are light of the world. Well, who's light of the world? Well, he is, and we are, as his children, as his followers. Let's read the whole thing. You are light. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Are you catching this? That we are now light to the world because Jesus brought God's light and illuminated our lives. And now we're to bring God's light to the world as well. We're called to that same endeavor. This is really another example of what we were talking about at the beginning of the morning, that we can't follow Christ in our own abilities, but God works through us. And in the same way, God's light has come to us, and now God's light is in us, and we can share God's light with the world. And it's all because of his work and his light in us. So I want you to do a little exercise and just take a minute right now and just turn to the person next to you or in front of you or whatever. And just tell them, don't say anything else, just say, look them in the eyes and say, you are light of the world. All right. Ashley's got her mom's face. Like, All right. How does that feel to be called light of the world?
Weird.
Isn't that weird? But that's what Jesus said you are. You are light of the world. We don't really all fit it. It's like that coat. You know, maybe we haven't fully grown into that. It doesn't feel like it fits on us. It's not right, but it's reality. You are light of the world. That's what Christ said about his followers. As we looked at earlier, the light of the world means that Jesus brought life, and now we are ambassadors of his light to the world. We bring life to others as we shine the gospel to those around us. This is who we are in Christ. Last week, Daniel and I went to West Lafayette visiting Purdue University, my old stomping ground, and Daniel actually got to stay in the dorm overnight with a couple brothers there, had a good time, but I went and stayed with our old friend Greg Girard. And remember Greg? Does anybody remember Greg? Okay. I hope so. He's been here like 25 years, pillar of the church, you know. And then he left us, you know. But he actually moved down to Purdue, as you know, some of you that don't know him. He's been in our church a long time, deacon for a long time. Moved down to Purdue to be a missionary, to be a light to that community of students and community. And so I hung out at his house, and he shared a couple stories with me that I was really encouraged by. So I asked him if I could share them this morning, and I told him, send me a paragraph summarizing what you told me, and so he did. So I'd just like to share it. Number one, he says, before moving to West Lafayette, I was recommended a realtor in order to purchase a home in the area. After meeting with my realtor on several occasions to discuss the real estate market, I asked her about her spiritual interest, and she was willing to discuss these things. So that then I asked the diagnostic questions, and you know, when we teach evangelism, we teach ask these diagnostic questions of people. Ask them, "How sure are you that you're going to heaven?" Those types of questions. If God asked you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? Those are diagnostic questions. Anyway, so Greg asked his realtor those questions, Because of her humble and kind spirit, we then walk through the Do You Know For Certain track. That's what we train people in. So even though Greg's gone, he still takes our tracks with him. Do You Know For Certain, it summarizes the gospel message in just a few pages. And he walked through that track with his realtor. After listening intently, she then prayed the prayer at the end of the track. With a grateful heart, she thanked me and said she never knew that the Bible tells us that a person can know for certain whether they can go to heaven. She never knew it. She never knew it. Number two story is that after arriving at Purdue, he started attending Chris Biang, the Biang's church there. And they also came from our church, if you haven't met them. They moved down there to help replant the church, and Greg was following them years later. And so he attended their church service, which is mostly students, Purdue students, several weeks. And he met a first-year Purdue student from Dubai. Am I pronouncing that right? Okay, yeah. And Greg asked about this guy's spiritual background, which apparently he was raised Christian somewhat. So in formality, at least, he knew a little bit about Christianity. And Greg and he were discussing the gospel message. And he had attended several church meetings before Greg met him. So he had a good understanding of the gospel at that point. However, as Greg shared with him, it was clear that he had never personalized the gospel message for himself. And so Greg asked if he wished to place all his faith in Christ for his eternal salvation, and he was hesitant. He wanted to think it over a little bit. And then after flying back to Dubai during the winter break just recently, he sent Greg a text message that he had prayed the prayer at the end of back to the Do You Know For Certain track and accepted Christ. And he's now back at Purdue, growing in his new relationship as a young believer in Christ. Amen? That's just from the few months that Greg has been gone from us. So we should have kicked him out a long time ago. But sent him out. <yeah. laughs> Well, let's stand. Why don't you stand with me as we close in prayer here before the music team comes up. We are light of the world. Let's lift up these things to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for Greg's stories. Thank you, Jesus, for being light of the world. We would be lost in darkness forever if you had not come, Jesus, as light of the world in our own lives, in our own hearts. Thank you for bringing God's light into our life. Thank you for bringing that to us. You said that we were not children of light before we knew you, but now we are children of light, and we praise you for that. And now we are light of the world. I know this might scare some to think of, wow, is that an incredible responsibility to be light of the world? But Lord, I ask that you would secure that in our hearts, that we would be fully vested in that, realizing, wow, that is who we are in you. Together as a church, with all our lights together, shining as a lighthouse to this community, Lord, help us as believers together, united together, all our lights together in a one big light that we might lead many out of darkness into your marvelous light. Your wonderful light is what you said. And we lift everybody up here to that end. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.